As we can all imagine, that Christmas is only 2 days away, and so I can imagine that you guys are probably wondering what I'm going to speak about. My topic will be about Christmas. And Christmas, it's a wonderful day. Like I said, it's only 2 days away, and it is on the minds of all. Everybody is thinking about Christmas nowadays, since it's December, and it's the 25th is even approaching even quicker. But the secular world, I will tell you that it completely misunderstands Christmas. The secular world will understand Christmas as Santa Claus, gifts, the sleigh, presents, and so forth. And sadly enough, so have churches also. They have misunderstood Christmas. They have understood Christmas as Christ being love, and so he has given the gift to all, and so all are going to be saved. But we know that that's not true, because hell is reserved for those who are disobedient. And just as Christ entered Jerusalem in the triumphant entry, many were shouting Hosanna. And just like right now, many are thinking of Christ in this December month. But as soon as the month passes away, people will curse him. People will continue to crucify him again after December. So they're only on their mind with this 1 month. But the 25th, that's not the exact date of Christ's birth, since we don't know, but that's the month that we have chosen, that we have picked, and it's on the hearts and on the minds of all those who believe, those who have been spiritually regenerate, and those who remain strong in his word. Christmas is year-round, and it remains in our minds. Can we so easily, simply forget Christ's coming? Can we really forget it that easy? The most remarkable day since creation is this day, Christmas. A day that should be on our minds continually, not only in December or on the 25th. We should always think about this day, because without this day, we would have been condemned. And with this in mind, I want us to read Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. If this message were to have a name, I would title it Eternal Conqueror or Eternally Victorious. Matthew 1:21. And she will bring forth a child, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I have given this message 2 points, three points. Eternal King, excellent name, and eternally alive. The first point I would like to discuss, that is that she will bring forth a son. Who is this son? Who is this son? Since he was born of a virgin birth, only one has ever happened to. His birth must be important. This person must be important. In the first chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 16, Matthew declares him as a king, the seed of David. He's an earthly king. The book of Matthew throughout speaks of Jesus as a king. For instance, we have the Sermon on the Mount, where Matthew portrays Jesus as someone greater than Moses, where he is on the mountain as God was on the mountain on Mount Sinai. And Moses has received the Ten Commandments by the finger of God, but here Jesus himself, as God, is giving laws to his people without the middle man. He himself is there. Therefore, he is greater than Moses. And Matthew portrays him as a king, as an earthly king, because he is from the line of David. And so Matthew portrays him as a king as an earthly king. But he is not only as an earthly king, he is also a divine king. He is heaven's king. Romans 3, if we could open up to that, verses 3 and 4. Chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says that concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, he is declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So here he says he is king in the flesh and he is God. So we have both there. And then in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1 also, verses 1 through 3. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. So we also see here that Jesus is the glory, is the bright glory of God. That is who Jesus is. He is the express image of his person. And in Colossians 1:15, we have that he is the invisible image of God, the firstborn over all creation. He is that image. If God were to ever have an image, Christ is it. Christ is that image. Christ is not only a king in the flesh, but he is also the eternal king. He is heaven's king. He is the heavenly, the Lord of hosts. The one who created creation. And that is in Colossians 1:16, and in John verses 1 through 3. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Not only upholding, but he is the one that spoke life into existence. The power that he has, that he did not create it simply with his hands, but he spoke. His words are even powerful. His words are just as powerful as he is. A power that the mind cannot perceive. This is he who this child is. He is not an ordinary child. He is God. And as God, he will not come into the world as in an ordinary manner. He will come through a virgin birth woman. Why is that? Because every person through Adam is cursed. We read that as soon as Adam bit that tree. And second point is that this Jesus, his name is excellent. He has a more excellent name than the angels. And she will bring, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus is the same word as Joshua. Joshua and Jesus is the same thing. Jesus is only in Greek. Joshua is in Hebrew. It means the same thing. Jehovah saves. Jehovah is salvation, is what that word means. And by his name, we can also know who he is, who this child is by that name. I believe Pastor George has done a little session with names and how important they are. And this is definitely one of them, that Jesus is extremely important just in that name alone. In the Old Testament, Joshua was used by God as an instrument of salvation. He was not the source of salvation, but he was an instrument. God used him. But here, Jesus, as God, was himself salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. and he gave salvation. Salvation is from him. He, again, not the middleman, he is here to give salvation. We don't understand the power in that. This is God incarnate in flesh. And so, with that in mind, that he is God, Isaiah speaks of this infant as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Read that in Isaiah 9:6. And Hebrews says, he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than the angels. How? How has he obtained this more excellent name? It says, by inheritance. He is God. It's who he is. He is God, and that's his inheritance. That's why the author of Hebrews says in 1:6, let the angels of God worship him. If the angels of God were to worship any other than God, they would have done idolatry, and they would have ended up in the same place where Satan and his angels will be, in the lake of fire. And so he is not an ordinary child. Christ's name is not only excellent, but I will tell you that it is also powerful. Just his name alone, it is a powerful name. The name of Christ through faith makes us strong and gives life. Read that in Acts 3:16. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. When we know who this Son is, we will have power in his name by faith and only by faith. You may ask, Brother Eugene, why don't I have this power of which you speak of? I've been going to church, being a good person. I've been reading my Bible. I've been helping others. I've even been keeping the speed limit. I've been honoring my parents. I will simply reply that Scripture does not speak of earning salvation. You do not earn salvation by being or doing those things. Because in God's economy, we're all sinners and deserving of death and hell. And that is one of the most important doctrines is in the book of Genesis, how badly we have fallen that God himself needed to come to save his people. If we have been any more better than we think we would have, that would not have happened. But we have fallen to such a degree that God is in need to save us. And so, the most moral person, his righteousness, Scripture says, is as filthy rags. You read that in Isaiah 64, verse 6. Our most righteous acts are as filthy rags. And so everything we do is done by the influence of our cursed flesh. And our cursed flesh, which is guided by this cursed earth, whom in turn is controlled by the god of this age, who is Satan. And Apostle Paul in Romans 3 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. None seek after God. They have all turned aside. No one seeks after God. Then someone may ask, how can anyone ever be saved? And again, my reply will be by the power of Jesus' name through faith. The guard, after an earthquake in Acts, asks, how could I be saved? Apostle Paul says, believe in the name of Jesus Christ. You must believe. The belief is the only way that we can know Christ is through faith. He's a spiritual being. The flesh cannot comprehend Christ. It cannot see Christ. It cannot know Christ if you have not been born again of the Spirit. And Romans 10, verses 9 through 11 says this, that if any of you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. And so without this faith, the results are quite devastating. We have this example in Acts 19, verses 13 through 16, when the Jewish leaders try to use Jesus' name without this faith to control a demon-possessed man. What happened is that demon-possessed man overpowered them because he says, I do not know who you are, but I know the name of Christ and I know who Paul is, but I do not know you. And so he beat him up, stripped him naked, and kicked him out of the house. Just because you use Christ's name means absolutely nothing if you don't have that faith, if you do not know where that name comes from. Who has given that person this name? God Almighty has given Jesus this name, because it is Him who is on this earth, who has come here to give us His righteousness, because our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so without this faith, the results are deadly. They are quite dangerous. And so because we know this eternal King and the power of His name, we live in His kingdom. We live in His kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, of which Matthew tells us in Matthew 5. Whoever would like to turn there, we can. Matthew chapter 5. It is the Sermon on the Mountain where Matthew speaks of the Beatitudes. And this is what a kingdom person is. Who is this person living in spirit? First of all, you will be poor in spirit. You will mourn that you have sinned, that you are a cursed person, that you cannot satisfy God. And so you mourn because you are saturated in sin. And after you will mourn, after you are poor, realize as poor in spirit, you will mourn. You will mourn for who you are, that you are poor in spirit. After you have this mourning, you become meek. And after you become meek, you hunger and thirst for the righteousness that is only from God. And so you obtain this, God gives you this life, this eternal life of which Matthew speaks of. We become living creatures of the Spirit. We live in the Beatitudes and consider it a pure joy when we are persecuted. When we are persecuted, it becomes joy for us, just like in James. Consider it pure joys when you experience trials. And we become the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Through the power of His name, by faith, we are blessed, already living in His kingdom. Notice that it says, blessed, blessed, blessed. You are already in this kingdom. You are already there. It is not when we're going to be in heaven that we're going to be in His kingdom. The kingdom is already here. It is in our hearts. We live in His kingdom. And through this power, by faith, we are blessed, already living. But all this, I would tell you, is impossible. It is absolutely impossible if we do not know why Christ has come. And that is the third point, eternally alive. We become eternally alive once we know this truth. That for He will save His people from their sins. Once we understand this truth, we become eternally alive. And this truth cannot be understood simply by reading it. Only God reveals it to you. So you must seek His face, His attributes. And where is He found? He is found in this book. Only in this book is He found. And after we understand this truth, we become eternally alive. We are saved from darkness to light. Acts 26:18. This is the reason for the why the Son has come. Not to save us from poverty, as many would think, that we, once you accept Christ, you will have a nice car, you will have a nice house, your life will be beautiful. No, that is not it. That is not the reason why Christ has come to satisfy you. He has come that we will satisfy Him, that we would bring Him joy. So this is the reason to why the Son has come, not to save us from poverty, not to have our best life now, not that at all, but that we would have our best life for eternity, glorifying God, the very thing that we are eager to do for all eternity. And in Acts 3:19 it says, repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence, time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. How do we know if we have been saved from darkness to light? In the first book of John, it says, The darkness he's referring to simply just by hating your brother. If you simply hate your brother, you are in the darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. All who are in Christ are new creatures. The old has passed, and behold, the new has come. That is how you would know if you are with Christ, if you know him, if you love him, if you want to bring glory to him. You are a new creature. Every person on this world who does not know God, he has selfish ambitions to satisfy himself. Once you are with God, you are a new creature. You want to satisfy him. You want to bring him glory. Just as our brothers and sisters were singing praises to him there. You want to do as much as you can to bring him glory. You become a new creature, a spiritual creature. And in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it says these very words. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So you walk in him. That is the first sign of your spiritual life, is that you walk with Christ and you are rooted in this belief, in this book. And so, just as the great flood, on the great flood, Christ was with them in that ark as God the Spirit. And in Genesis 17:16, he closed the doors. He closed those doors. And if you do not know who this son is, who was born 2,000 years ago, then his name means absolutely nothing to you and has no strength. And you are still in your sins and already condemned because you have not known Jesus and you have not believed that this child suffered the wrath of God in your place to give you life, to give you his righteous clothes to wear before God the Father. But to some, he will be as God the Judge. And so this innocent child has come only once as a human being, but the next time he comes, he will not be an innocent child. He will not seem like he's helpless. He will not be a baby, but as a great king, bringing justice to all who are not covered by Christ. Who are not covered by Christ and his blood. This is Christmas. This is the real meaning of Christmas, that Christ has come to save his people from what? From their sins. Amen.